It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoor Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for being with me. I hope you enjoy this morning's show, and I hope you're having a great run in summer, wherever you might be. Last week, I talked at some length about, is there any culpability for organizations or anyone who sues to stop wildlife and forestry and agricultural management? And as a result of their suits, even if they lost them, that they have caused environmental damage, economic damage, or loss of life. And how do we get some remedy so that we can go back to managing our landscapes? And a lot of you commented on that. Some of you thought I was completely out to lunch and that anyone should be able to sue a landowner or the government so that they don't cut timber or they don't graze cattle. And a lot of you thought I was absolutely right that we had to put things back in balance so that we could manage our western lands. No sooner did I mention that last week than, lo and behold, the New York Times this week writes an article about see how wildfire smoke spread across America. And it talks about the blood red full moon across the northeastern part of the United States, and New Yorkers having some of the worst air quality in years. Air pollution above 2.5 parts per million is considered to be a very unhealthy range. Well, for most of the day in New York, Toronto, Philadelphia, across the New England states, you were way above 2.5. You had terrible air quality a lot of days this past week. And people are asking why. Well, very simple, because the American West is largely on fire and our trade winds go west to east, just as we in the Gulf, in the Pacific Coast states now pick up pollution from China. And we have records now of pollution in the snow, in the mountains and the Cascades in Washington, all from China. New York and the East Coast gets the smoke, as do we in Chicago. Well, this year it's not been terrible because of the jet stream. It's gone around us largely, but Minnesota's had terrible air quality. So it is a national issue, and that's what I was trying to say last week, is that when we don't manage the American West, the consequences are continental-wide, and we're feeling them right now. So maybe the people in New York, and it would be great, I say this sarcastically, if Washington, D.C. got a large dose of the smoke coming out of Idaho and California and Oregon and Utah, and recognize that it's because of their actions or inactions that we are dealing with this. We have a half a century or more of what basically amounted to completely irresponsible land management practices in the American West. Some of it ideologically driven, a lot of it lawsuit driven, not being able to graze cattle where they need to be grazed, not being able to manage forests where they need to be managed. The result is the West is on fire and will be for years to come. We have tens and tens of millions of acres that is going to burn. And if it had been properly managed over the past 50 to 60 years, we would have seasonal wildfires, but we would not have this. So I'm glad I spoke about it last week. And maybe now that some people on the East Coast, millions of people are breathing unhealthy air, and it has nothing to do with cars on the road. It has everything to do with fires in the West. One last thing on the West before I shift to Canada and opening up. The Great Salt Lake, I started talking about this quite a while ago as well, has been in a free fall as far as losing water. Now it's international news. The Great Salt Lake approaching the lowest levels in history, with it projected to break all records before this summer is over. I spoke to a number of individuals this past week who manage wetlands in the Great Salt Lake, and they said, what wetlands? You could drive a car across a lot of areas that ordinarily have water. Cattle are are trying to graze in other areas, but there's absolutely no water for them. The dust coming up off the Great Salt Lake is just horrifically toxic. The air quality and all on the Wasatch Front from Provo all the way up through Ogden, Brigham City, and on up is awful. And it brings to point that the Great Salt Lake is not only the largest lake of its kind in North America, but it ecologically is really important to a lot of this country. And as we turn the Great Salt Lake into salt flats, because we are taking too much water out of the Great Salt Lake to have the population of the entire Wasatch Front grow, and it's projected to double in the next 15 years alone. So far, they've been under every projection they've made for the last 35 years on population. So let's assume they're going to underproject as well. That means that they're underprojecting the amount of water that's needed for this population. That means that there's going to be more water taken out of the tributaries to the Great Salt Lake. Only one thing can happen. The lake will continue to get lower. There'll be more exposed salt flats, which are covered with toxins and salts. And Salt Lake eventually will be a really unhealthy place to live unless we do something. All this, of course, exacerbated by the fact that we are having a really hot and very, very dry summer across the American West. And we're sitting here in Chicago, and I know you're saying, why do you talk about the West so much? Well, because it really, really affects us. What goes on in the American West affects our air quality in a big way. And also, as you're reading or learning, is affecting the cost of produce. California, the major producer of produce in America, probably the world, actually. And water shortages mean fewer almond trees. They mean fewer everything is being planted. And that affects, of course, the price of those commodities. So the American West, what happens in the American West is extremely germane to those of us who live in the Midwest. Canada, how about it? They're actually going to let us come see them. I personally am thrilled. For the first time since 1982, I did not go to Canada last year. That's a lot of years. That's almost 40 years, in fact. I hate to think about that, but that's true. I can't wait. I can't wait to go up to northern Manitoba and get to the old, we call it an old shack, but we actually now, the shack was burned down because years ago our wonderful farming family was afraid of the Hunter virus, and so they burned the shack down, and so now we fortunately have a little better accommodations, but I can't wait to get up in the North Woods, the marshes, and smell the muskeg and just the clear air. Hopefully it's clear. The clear air and the cold northern lights that come on at night and they greet you in the morning and they dance across the sky. There's so many things that you miss in not being able to go to Canada, particularly northern Canada. So fingers are crossed right now. You're going to be able to go very shortly if you've been vaccinated. They did hold out the caveat, of course, that they could close the border at any time. And with what's going on with this Delta variant, maybe all bets are still off. But one of the things that is really kind of interesting, there hasn't been a plane, of course, that has carried a U.S. person, or very few, to Canada in almost a year and a half now. Well, you can't just turn the switch and open up fishing camps and expect customers to be able to get there. So places where you can drive from the United States into southern Manitoba and Ontario and Quebec or Saskatchewan to fish, those places are likely to start seeing a lot of customers on day one. But places you have to fly to, not going to happen. The airline schedule is going to take quite a while to sort out. There'll be lots of cancellations. The lodges aren't open. The fly-in lodges, here we are in the middle of summer. They have lost another year. So unfortunately, while Canada is opening up, it pretty much is a lost summer for those individuals who may have cabins and small cottages in Canada and they can drive there. I know you're headed there the moment you can. But for the fishing camps and for all of the outfitters across Canada, it's too late in the game for most of them. And so many people go to Canada to do upland bird hunting and waterfowl hunting. That season starts in September. there's going to be a lot of scrambling to see if that can happen. But if you're a fishing lodge and you're a fly-in camp up in the North Country, you don't have enough of summer left to have any customers. You may get open for a week, but that's probably not going to be worthwhile. So unfortunately, they waited too long to help so many of the resort lodge outfitters in Canada. But at least we can go. Hopefully it'll stay. I'd hate to think that come September, I can't drive to the end of the road, 6.5 hours north of Winnipeg, for a second year in a row. I'll be back in just a moment. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about extremely bizarre, I mean, really bizarre statement by a senator from Louisiana. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. And before the break, I said I would talk about an absolutely remarkably stupid, is the only way I can phrase it, editorial written by Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, who is, I assume, a very bright person. But he has decided that we ought to change the Migratory Bird Treaty Act to extend the waterfowl hunting season so that hunters in Louisiana can hunt until the 10th of March. This is quite possibly one of the worst ideas that has come across in a long time, and it's clearly pandering to his Louisiana constituency, which has seen their waterfowl hunting just implode over the past 15 years, and particularly the last 5 years. And he thinks the answer is that we should have a much longer duck season. And he says hunters are natural conservationists, so they have every incentive to steward the great outdoors fully. Unfortunately, the government has responded by imposing unfair limits on their use of America's wetlands. Many Louisiana hunters believe the duck season is unreasonably and unnaturally short. This is about the most preposterous thing that anyone could say, given that we have had unquestionably the worst drought in the last 30 years, experiencing it right now. We know that waterfowl populations are going to plummet this year. We also know that last year was a particularly poor hatch. We haven't done a survey of the breeding grounds in 2 years. And for a little bit of history for Senator Kennedy, who I said, I'm sure he's a wonderful guy and a very smart man. But on this case, in this one, he must be pandering to a few special interest groups. And he certainly does not have the well-being of North America's waterfowl at heart. For a little bit of quick history, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act involves the United States, Canada, and Mexico, so it's not exactly easy to amend. It was put into place so that we did not shoot ducks in the spring. It was known long ago that spring hunting had an abnormally high impact on populations, and this was before we even had great science. And the reason is the birds that are still alive in the spring have survived all perils except for their migration back north. They've made it. and all they have to do is get back to the breeding grounds. They are particularly vulnerable in the spring, but Senator Kennedy wants to open up Louisiana to spring duck shooting. It's incredible that he would think this is a good idea. Now, there's not a scientist that's going to think it's a good idea. There's nobody who is going to think that what he wants to do is biologically reasonable. But there are going to, unfortunately, be lots of people who are in the commercial business or the self-interest business, which clearly those supporting this are, who are going to get behind this. Before politics got into this in a big way, the duck season in North America ended about January 8th, January 10th at the latest. That all changed when a certain senator from Mississippi by the name of Trent Lott was head of the committee in the Senate, and he was going to withhold the appropriations to the Department of Interior unless Mississippi was granted a special season, which went to the 31st of January, which would be an experimental season. There was never any experimenting. There was never any science. The Fish and Wildlife Service was against this, but Senator Lott had all the power. And the season, an experimental season in Mississippi, was granted. This is in the 25 years ago, it was granted. And then next thing you knew, it became continent-wide. The experimental season was such a success in Mississippi, meaning hunters liked it so much, that the Fish and Wildlife Service just capitulated, abdicated their responsibilities, and said, you can hunt to the 31st of January anywhere in America. Your season can't be longer than Mississippi Flyway. It's 60 days, and Pacific Flyway, it's 114. But you're going to close on January 31st. They didn't want to do it because they knew that already most birds are paired. You see it if you spend any time in the outdoors in the month of January. Waterfowl species are beginning to pair up. Some pairs are harder than others, but they're pairing up, and they're getting ready to head back north. By the beginning of March, the only ducks in Louisiana are ducks that are coming back from the south that have been in the Yucatan, Costa Rica, or elsewhere. So you're going to be shooting ducks on their northward migration. But it's a pure political move that Senator Kennedy is trying to do to ingratiate himself with a few Louisiana duck hunters who don't care about conservation. They just care about themselves. And in his editorial, he talks about, or his opinion piece, how many wonderful acres of habitat Louisiana hunters have preserved over time. And he talks about a group of Louisiana hunters that saved 9,500 acres of North Dakota's wetlands since 2015. Well, the prairies are over 300,000 square miles, 100 million acres in size. And he's bragging about a group of hunters that have saved 9,500 acres out of 100 million. Senator Kennedy, with all due respect, this is a horrible idea for wildlife management. Politics should stay out of it. I don't think you have any chance of success. You may score some points with some people, but hopefully most Louisianans rise up against you and say, this is not what we want as conservationists. This is not what we stand for. We don't believe in hunting ducks in the spring. And I'm sure the Fish and Wildlife Service is going to pay no attention to this. And I would hope the Secretary of Interior pays no attention to it either. It's a bad idea, but most of all, it sets a really bad precedent. Sportsmen, hunters are the best conservationists, and we're not asking to shoot ducks in the spring. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. Thank you for listening.